Krishna. So we are very happy to welcome this afternoon His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is an engineer from Pune and he has been very actively involved, especially in the arena of writing. He has authored many books. He is one of the biggest publisher of scientific books in ISKCON, and especially many of his articles have appeared in leading newspapers. I would say that one of the maximum number of articles anyone has written in newspapers amongst ISKCON devotees. And he's been very actively involved in youth preaching, traveling to bases all over India and presenting Krishna consciousness. He's currently traveling to different places and doing also research on how to defeat Darwinism and what are the principles and theories of reincarnation, and is currently writing a script for a documentary which is going to be made on reincarnation, which will be presented in different television channels. So he is very much in demand amongst the community of devotees, especially the youth and the scientific preaching. We are very happy that this afternoon he is present here and he is going to be speaking on
emotional exchanges between Krishna and
Arjuna. And he is going to be speaking, probably because of the theme of the Gita Jayanti which is coming up, the emotional exchanges between Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So let us welcome His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu by loudly chanting.
Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we will start with a small prayer to Lord Krishna as the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is a prayer offered by Ramanujacharya in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita called Shri Gita Bhashya. So I'll tell the meaning, then we'll recite it. So he refers to Lord Krishna as Prapanna Parijataya Totra Vetraika Panaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gitamruta Duhe Namaha. So he describes Prapanna Parijataya, for the surrendered soul, that Lord is the evergreen tree which gives shelter, Parijata. Totra Vetraika Panaye. So Panaye means hand. So Eka Panaye, in one of his hands, he has taken, he's holding a stick to discipline the horse. He's become a charioteer. And the other hand is paradoxically, so generally a person who is taking care of horses is not considered very enlightened. But one hand is carrying the stick to discipline the animals, but the other hand is Jnana Mudraya. Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya. And what is he doing? Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha. He is giving the nectar of the message of the Gita. So we'll recite this verse, then we'll start. Prapanna Parijataya Totra Vetraika Panaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha. Hare Krishna. So on the occasion of the upcoming Gita Jayanti, I would briefly speak on how the Bhagavad Gita is not just a book of philosophy. It is actually a book of loving reciprocation masquerading as philosophy. So in the Vedic library, the Bhagavad Gita is one of the most known and least understood books. So even among devotees, many devotees feel Bhagavatam and CC, there are more pastimes. Bhagavad Gita is so much philosophy, it's difficult to understand. Yes, there is philosophy, but when we understand that there are two individuals who are discussing, and both of them have their emotions. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is one of our great acharyas, and he has by the grace of Lord Krishna, entered into the hearts of Krishna and Arjuna while discussing, and he reveals to us their insights. And other acharyas like Ramanacharya, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, and others have also given precious insights. So we'll try to discuss today how, as the philosophy is going on, what is the effect of that discussion on Arjuna and correspondingly on Krishna. So we know the Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, and many academic or jnani type scholars who comment on the Bhagavad Gita, they mostly neglect the first chapter. They all, this is just names and it's not very important. So actually, the first chapter sets the scene. At the end of the first chapter, it is described as Visrujya Sasaram Japam Shoka Samvigna Manasa. In the 46th verse of the first chapter, Arjuna puts aside his bow. Visrujya, giving up Sasaram Japam. Sara and chap is bow and arrow. Shoka Samvigna Manasa. His mind is filled with lamentation. Next chapter, while continuing his theme, he says, Nayotsaiti Govindam Uktva Tushnim Babhuvaha. He says, I will not fight. So the Bhagavad Gita is surely a historical reality which happened 5,000 years ago. But it is not just a historical reality. It is actually eternal reality. And the Bhagavad Gita represents what happens in the hearts of all of us. So in a poetic sense, Arjuna's Gandiva bow represents the determination of the sadhaka to serve Krishna. And that determination gets weakened by the ups and downs of this world. Primarily, it gets weakened by perceptions and conceptions which are disconnected from Krishna. So Arjuna came fully ready to fight. But then he had just this feeling, I want to see who all are fighting. So he told Krishna, please take my chariot in between the two warriors. When he took it between, then he saw Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma Drona Pramukta Sarvesam cha Mahikshitam Uvacha Partha Pashyaitan Samavetan Kuruniti. So Krishna told him, just see Arjuna. So Krishna is sarcastically telling him, this is not the time to see, this is the time for action. What do you want to see over here? But he sees and he gets bewildered. So that's very dramatic. Before he tells, before Krishna takes the chariot in between the two parties, he tells, I want to see. He says, who are those people who are here to assist the evil-minded sons of Dhritarashtra? But as soon as he sees, he says, Drishtvemam Swajanam Krishnam Yutsum Samapastitam. So, Swajanam. So, before coming in the middle, he knows that they are actually evil-minded. But when he comes in between and sees, those who are Durbuddhe, they become Swajana. Oh, they are all my relatives. How can I fight with them? So, this first perception weakens his determination. And then based on perception, there are his conceptions, his speculations. What if this will happen? What if that will happen? What if that will happen? And the end of it, he loses heart. He says, I can't fight. So actually, if we over-rely on our perceptions and conceptions, the same thing happens to us. We lose our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. And when Krishna starts speaking, the first thing that Krishna does is, he just gives a pep talk. Pep talk. Hey Arjuna, this has not become you. Kutastva kashmalamidam vishamaya samupasthitam. Arjuna, this has not become you. Why are you becoming cowardly like this? So, our Acharya described that klaibhyam masmagamaha partha. Klaibhya actually means importance. So, we know in the Mahabharata, in the time of the Ajnatvas, actually Arjuna had acted like an important person, as a eunuch. So, Krishna is sarcastically telling Arjuna, while playing the role of a klaibhya, have you actually become a klaibhya now? Why are you not fighting? So this is like a verbal slap for Arjuna. But Arjuna says, no, I'm not weak-hearted. Actually, how can I fight my relatives? And then, finally, he says, I surrender to you. And then Krishna starts speaking. So Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, explains the essential message of the Gita in a very beautiful way. He says, we can understand the essential message of a book by looking at the beginning and at the end. So the beginning, the first words of instruction that Krishna speaks is Ashocha Ananvashochastvam Pragyavadamsya Bhashase. Why are you lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation? And the concluding instruction that he speaks is Ma Shuchaha, do not lament. So Jiva Goswami explains that the essential message of the Bhagavad Gita is do not lament. This material world is a place that causes lamentation for us. Inevitably, sooner or later, some things go wrong, and despite our best plans and intentions, and we tend to lament. The Bhagavad Gita's message is meant to free us from lamentation. But this freedom from lamentation has two parts. There is, Krishna offers encouragement at the start of the Gita and at the end of the Gita. And in between, he offers enlightenment. These two both have to be there when we try to help others. If there are many modern self-help books which tell, come on, you can do it. So they just try to encourage. But actually, self-help does not work because these books don't tell us what is the self that they are trying to help. So without knowing that, how can you really be helping anyone? So that's why there should not just be encouragement, but also enlightenment. So if there is only encouragement without enlightenment, it is not substantial. It cannot last. On the other hand, if there is only enlightenment without encouragement, then that doesn't create the confidence. Okay, this is the right thing, but I don't think I can do it. It's very difficult. So Krishna very endearingly blends encouragement and enlightenment in his message. And it is this blend of encouragement and enlightenment that frees Arjuna from lamentation. So, first thing when Arjuna surrenders. So at that time, Prahasan Iva Bharata, Krishna smiles. Krishna smiles. So the Vishnu Acharya Thakur says, why does Krishna smile? Actually, Arjuna is lamenting. Why should Krishna smile at that time? Because he feels that Arjuna is behaving in a very unbecoming way. And as a friend, whenever in the Mahabharata, if any of the Pandavas behave in unbecoming ways, then Krishna tends to tease them. At one point when Bhima says, oh, Arjuna, just before Krishna is going to go as Shanti Dut, at that time when Bhima says, no, Arjuna, please, Krishna, please try for peace. And at that time Krishna gets afraid. Bhima, I didn't expect this from you. He said, all the 14 years you were breathing fire practically. And now what has happened? Truly it is said that when the war approaches, even the brave become cowardly. And now this incites Bhima. He says, I am not cowardly, but I feel there should not be any bloodshed. So actually Krishna generally, if somebody behaves in a way that is not appropriate, now Krishna teases them. So Krishna, because Krishna has a Sakya Rasa with all the Pandavas. So he has that tendency to laugh at Arjuna when he says, oh, I can't fight. But then he says, Arjuna has surrendered to me. So now we are not friends. Actually our relationship has changed. So if a disciple expresses a problem to the spiritual master cannot laugh at the problem of the disciple. If the spiritual master laughs, the disciple's heart will break by that. So that's why Krishna is about to laugh, but he curbs his laughter. And therefore it is said, Prahasan Iva Bharata, as if laughing. And then Krishna starts speaking, and then he talks about how you're not the body or the soul. So all this, so basically if we see, the first section is essentially 25, 26, 27, 30. He says, do not lament. That is like a chorus, Krishna is saying. Natvam shochitum arhasi, nainam shochitum arhasi, nanu shochitum arhasi. Do not lament. Why? Because you are not the body of the soul. They are not the body, they are the soul. And then Krishna starts talking about karma kand, karma yoga. I will not go into the full philosophy because we are focusing on the emotions. But generally, it is said that when a speaker speaks and the audience hears only 20% of what the speaker speaks. Of course, that is if the audience is awake. Otherwise, it will not be there. But of course, Arjuna was not sleeping on the battlefield. But now, okay, the audience hears 20%. But God only knows which 20% they will hear. So, because of that, Krishna is talking elaborate philosophy. Actually, karmanneva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. This is one of the most quoted, least understood verse of the Gita. Actually, Srila Prabhupada talks about half-hen logic. You take the hens, just back part, and leave out the front part. So we just want the eggs, people want the eggs, but not the feeding it. But actually, with respect to this verse, it is not even half-hen logic. It is quarter-hen logic. Because only 1/4 of the verse is quoted. Karmanneva adhikaraste, that's all. But Krishna is speaking with very lofty philosophy, and Arjuna is still thinking, should I fight or should I not fight? So what is happening? He is having his own thought flow, and that's why he asks Arjuna, Krishna, you are talking about this enlightened person. Please tell me his symptoms. So then that's why that question comes up in 2.53. What are the symptoms of an enlightened person? And Krishna again goes into philosophy, because Krishna wants to take the decision to a higher discussion to a higher level. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is not a book of violence or peace. It is a book of transcendence. And to attract our attention, it creates the most dramatic setting possible. And that is the setting of a war field. But the Bhagavad Gita's message is not primarily a message of war. So Krishna is taking the discussion at a higher and higher level. So he talks about how the enlightened person is self-controlled and how one can become self-controlled. And then when he says, how will become self-controlled? He says, such a self-controlled person will attain peace. Sashanti madigachyati. Now Arjuna is thinking, oh, shanti means no fighting. So Krishna is talking about different kind of shanti. Arjuna thinks of a different kind of shanti. So that's why in the third chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna, first you said that fighting is bad, and then you are recommending to fight. How will fighting will attain peace? Then Srila Prabhupada explains the purport. Actually, everything has been spoken in the first chapter, second chapter. But because it was not spoken in a way that Arjuna could understand, so Krishna elaborates it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Rasik Ranjan commentary, calls the second chapter as contents of the Gita summarized. And Prabhupada uses that chapter. Now, in the second chapter, Krishna does not talk about his supreme position. He mainly talks about what is the right course of action. So there's only one verse, 2.61, only 1/4 of one verse. Matparaha. Tani sarvani sarim yukta asita matparaha. You should fix your mind on me. So Krishna just drops a hint over there that actually I am not just the teacher of sense control. I am the object of the control senses. I am the object on which the control senses should be fixed. But Arjuna doesn't catch that because he's in his own world at that time. So should I fight or should I not fight? So then again there is a systematic discussion. So basically, the essential message that comes out at the end of the Gita is how Bhakti Yoga is the greatest, best path, and Bhagawan is the highest manifestation of God. The personality, the beautiful personality of Godhead, that is the highest manifestation of God. So in the third chapter, Krishna speaks about various things and how one should act in an exemplary way, practice Karma Yoga. And then there's Krishna again drops one verse hint. That actually, the perfection of Karma Yoga is to offer your work to me. In 3.30, he says, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. That offer your work to me. But then Arjuna is still thinking, okay, you are saying I should do duty, but you say I should be detached, but I am attached, what should I do? Then there's a whole analysis which Krishna gives. So then, suddenly at the end of the third chapter, Krishna describes how one can become free from attachment, primarily attachment to lust. And then suddenly, in the fourth chapter, Krishna seems to change track. And he says, I spoke this knowledge to the sun god. So Arjuna, where did sun god come into the picture? Just now you're talking about controlling the senses, and this is the mind, this is the intelligence, and this is the soul, and suddenly I spoke this knowledge to sun god. So now generally speaking, Arjuna is also very intelligent. Sometimes when we are hearing a class, we get a question. And sometimes it's possible that if we just keep hearing, the question will get answered. So Arjuna, he hears that 4.1 Krishna says that I have given this knowledge to sun god, Imam Vivasvate Yoga. So immediately he gets the question. But he says, he doesn't ask anything. Let me see if Krishna himself explains. But then he doesn't explain. He says, okay, like that the knowledge was given to so many people, and now I am going to give this knowledge, and then you will have to preach this knowledge. Hey, wait a minute. I can't do this. Please tell me, how did you tell this to sun god? So why does Krishna bring the sun god suddenly in between? Krishna wants to actually tell Arjuna that the knowledge which I am giving you is not just some circumstantial knowledge that is taught on the battlefield. This is a knowledge that is eternally available since the start of the creation. So, the sun gives light to the world, but I give light to the sun. I give the light of knowledge to the sun. So that is the theme of Krishna's telling, that I have enlightened and illuminated the sun god. And this knowledge of how to become free from attachment, how to become free from selfishness, that Krishna says is eternally available. So actually, in this world, Krishna plays the role of both a Brahmana and a Kshatriya. A Brahmana is a person who gives knowledge. And Kshatriya is a person who creates facility to implement that knowledge. So first Krishna says, I give the knowledge to the sun god. And the sun god carries on. There are many Rajarushis who continue that knowledge. But then, he says, sometimes these Rajarushis are not able to function. And that time there is Dharmasya Glani. And when there is Dharmasya Glani, then I myself come. So normally Krishna plays the role of a Brahmana. But when there is an emergency, he takes up the role of a Kshatriya. So that's why Paritranaya Sadhuna Minashaya Dushkritam, this is actually the role of a Kshatriya. So establishing Dharma, removing Adharma, protecting the saintly. So Krishna says, I take that up myself. And then after that, Krishna says, but this is not the main purpose I come for. I come not to create order in this world, because no matter how much order we create, there will eventually be disorder in this world. I come to take you out of this world back to the spiritual world. Janma karma cha me divyam. You actually come back to me, 4.9. Then 4.10 he describes how you can come back to me. And then 4.11 is the verse which is, again, very often quoted and very little understood. One of the verses again. So he says, Yetha mam prapadyante, tam sathaiva bhajamyaham, mama vartamanu vartante, manusha partha sarvashaha. So generally, impersonalists, those people who believe only in the impersonal conception of God, the Mayavadis, they quote the second half of the verse. Whereas the Vaishnava Acharyas quote the first half. What is the second half? Mama vartamanu vartante manusha partha sarvasha. Actually, this verse means that all people are on my path. But this is mistranslated as all paths come to me. So, Srila Prabhupada was in America. At one time, one young man came after his lecture. He asked, Swamiji, I don't know the verse, but I have heard that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that whatever you do, you will come to me. What do you have to say about that? Srila Prabhupada replied, if whatever you do, you will go to Krishna, then why does Krishna have to speak the Bhagavad Gita? Isn't it? It's very simple. Why does Krishna have to speak the Bhagavad Gita? So obviously, the Bhagavad Gita is telling, do this and don't do this. But it is often misunderstood. And then after that, where once Krishna... So this is the only section in the first six chapters of the Gita where Krishna speaks about himself. From 4.5 to 4.15. So the focus is on him, that actually I come, descend to this world and give this knowledge. But Krishna is focusing more on the art of work. And that's why he says, Kim karma kim karmeti kavayo pyatra mohitaha. That actually it's very difficult to understand what is the art of work. And then I will tell you the art of work. And then finally he comes to tell you, okay, you have to actually perform sacrifice. And there is one verse in the fourth chapter, 24th verse, which actually puts people into Brahma. It's filled with Brahma, and that's why it pulls people into Brahma. Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir Brahma Agno Brahmana Hitam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. So, now there are Mayavadis, they say that everything is Brahma. So, what they do? When they take prasad, Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir. This Brahma is going into Brahma. But actually, Krishna is telling something very different over there. Vishnu Acharya explains that Krishna is telling Arjuna that I want you to become a perform a fire sacrifice. What is that fire sacrifice? He says, the sacrifice is that the whole battlefield of Kurukshetra is the Yajnasthali. And your bow and arrow is the spoon. And the Kauravas are the ghee. That is to be offered. So Arjuna says, I never heard about this kind of sacrifice. Then Krishna says, oh, you didn't know? There are so many different kinds of sacrifices. And then from 4.25 to 4.32, Krishna tells different kinds of sacrifices. Arjuna, bop re, I thought there's only one kind of sacrifice. Then Krishna tells, yeah, actually, there are so many different kinds of sacrifices. Therefore, if you want to know what you have to do, you should go to a guru and find out which sacrifice you should do. And then when Arjuna hears this, okay, I have to go to guru. Now he thinks, where is the... Okay, what about fighting? Because Arjuna, again, Krishna says that, you know, here in 4.35, he tells what is the consequence of attaining knowledge from a guru. He says that you will see the connection of everyone with me. Yajnyatvana punarmoham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani drakshasya atmanyathomai drakshasya atmanyathomai. You will see all living beings are in me and are mine. So, here Krishna describes for the first time in the Gita his relationship with the living entities, that they all belong to me. And therefore, you should understand that I am their greatest well-wisher and whatever I am telling you is good for them. So then again Krishna is telling how, if you practice this knowledge, you will attain peace, shanti madhigachyati. And he says shanti madhigachyati in 4.40, and 4.42 he says, Arjuna, rise and fight. So again Krishna says, Arjuna says, what happened? Why are you giving contradictory instructions like this? So again what happens is, Arjuna is at a different frame of reference, Krishna is at a different frame of reference. But finally, Krishna says, I'll clarify again. And he gives systematically the understanding of the fifth chapter. And the fifth chapter, only place where he refers to himself is in the last verse, where he says that, Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam, that I am the goal of all sacrifices, I am the goal of all austerities, I am the goal of all works. And here, basically in the first chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna that you do Parama Yoga and the perfection of Karma Yoga is Bhakti Yoga. And then he talks about Ashtanga Yoga over there. Now when Arjuna hears about the Ashtanga Yoga, he becomes a little frightened. Because you have to go to the jungle and stay in the jungle. Shuchaudeshe pratishthapya sthiramasana matmanaha. So actually when he thinks he's to go to the jungle, now Srila Prabhupada is actually very compassionate. So when Krishna is telling that go to the jungle, Prabhupada is telling in the purport, this is not practical, you should stay at home and chant Hare Krishna. Now, actually, there are some mundane scholars, he says, is this a commentary or is this a contradiction of the speaker? So actually, is Prabhupada elaborating Krishna's words or is he cancelling Krishna's words? So how can you say something exactly opposite to what the teacher is saying? Actually, if you are talking about cancelling Krishna's words, you know, Krishna cancels his own words in the Gita. When at the end he says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Give up everything and surrender to me. So here, it teaches all these things. So there are some mundane scholars, they can't understand. So they change this verse. And they say, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. They change the dharma to adharma. Why? How can you give up dharma? But actually Krishna is telling us to give up lower dharma to take up highest dharma. So Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita is not a very simple book to understand because we don't have a very simple intelligence. So, the Bhagavad Gita is giving different levels of instructions for different people. And when it gives different levels of instruction for different people, what is good at one level is not good at another level. So, imagine a father has two sons. So, one son is outstanding in his studies. He always gets very good marks, 80% marks. The other son gets very mediocre marks, just 40% marks. And now today both of them have come with the results. And both of them have 60% marks. Or the 40% son comes, Father, I got 60%. Shabash, pats his back, well done. The second says, Father, I got 60%. Badmash, what did you do? Hey, both got 60%, why badmash? He says, because for you it's a come down. So Krishna is telling, so what is good or bad depends on what level one is at. So Krishna will tell the same thing at one time. And first he will say, Dharma samsthapana arthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I have come to establish dharma. But later he will say, give up all dharma. Why? Because from 40%, 60% is good. But from 60%, 80% is better. So from adharma to come to dharma is good. But from dharma to go to the paradharma of pure devotional service, that is the best. So in the fifth chapter, in the sixth chapter when Krishna starts, so what Srila Prabhupada does is, Krishna builds his argument. He just drops some verses. Actually, Krishna's heart is so compassionate that he simply wants to give the ultimate conclusion. Now, our acharyas describe that the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to glorify Srimati Radharani. Now, in the whole Bhagavad Gita, there is no reference to the word Radharani. The only two words that come close to the reference to Radharani is that Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha. That it takes shelter of the divine potency. And Esha te Brahmi Stiti Partha. 2.70 Brahmi. Normally the word Brahma is neuter. But Krishna used the word Brahmi, it's feminine. But there is no reference to Radharani in the full Bhagavad Gita. And if you look at the complete Bhagavad Gita as it is, the commentary of Srila Prabhupada, there also the name of Radharani comes only once. And where is that? That is in the introduction when Srila Prabhupada is offering prayers. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. That is the only place where Radharani's reference is there. Then how can it be claimed that the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to glorify Radharani? Actually, Radharani is not just a personality. She's surely a personality, but she's a personality who manifests also as the energy of bhakti. And Krishna wants to glorify the process of bhakti. So, Krishna speaks his own glories so as to inspire people. If this is how glorious I am, and yet I get conquered by bhakti. So how glorious is bhakti? So Krishna is speaking his glories simply to glorify the process of bhakti. So that's why Krishna speaks all these things and he rejects all these things at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. But what Srila Prabhupada does compassionately is, Krishna drops hints throughout the Gita, and at the end of the Gita he says, just forget everything, surrender to me. But throughout the Gita, Prabhupada says, just forget everything, surrender to Krishna. So, what Krishna does at the end of the Gita, Srila Prabhupada does throughout the Gita. So, why does Srila Prabhupada do that? He says in one lecture, that people in Kali Yuga, they have neither the time, nor the capacity, nor the intelligence to read and understand. So, you know, they will just take any verse from the Gita and just start reading that, and they will say, okay, this says, you know, I have to become a renunciate, I have to give up home, I have to go to a jungle. It's not practical, put it aside. Prabhupada says, you just open any page of the Gita, you will get the conclusion of the Gita there. That is the characteristic of Srila Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada is actually bringing to the forefront of the Gita the essential compassion of Krishna's heart. So in essence, if we compare with the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Narad Muni and Vyasa speaking. So Vyasa has written all the literature, and at the end Narad Muni chastises him. Why are you doing all that? Just speak pure devotional service, and then writes the Bhagavatam. So in one sense, Krishna also does the whole thing. He talks about all the dharmas, all the various processes of religion, and then he talks about pure devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada follows what Narad Muni told Vyasadeva in Bhagavatam. Just speak about pure devotional service throughout the Gita. So, now in the 6th chapter, Krishna talks about how you have to go to jungle and then you have to attain samadhi. And those verses in 6.20 to 23 are very beautiful verses. How a person's mind becomes stilled. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyannatmani tushyati. The mind becomes completely still. And when the mind becomes still, one turns inwards. And inwards, one sees the super soul. Pashyanatmani tushyati. And here Krishna describes what is actually the ultimate achievement of life. Different people have different conceptions. Somebody may say, I want to go to America, I want to start my own company, I want to do this, I want to do that. Krishna says, fine, real achievement should have two characteristics. What are the two characteristics? Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tataha yasmin stito na dukhena gurunapi vichalyate. So he says that if you attain the ultimate achievement, the first characteristic is, after achieving that, one should feel that there is nothing more to achieve. Yam labdhva cha aparam labham manyate nadikam tata. That means one becomes satisfied by that achievement. And I don't want anything more. And second thing he says is, if you achieve that thing, then no misery can trouble you. Yasmin stito na dukkhena gurunapi vichalyate. So, real achievement is that which takes us beyond hankering and beyond lamentation. So, no achievement of the material world can take us beyond this. Even if somebody says, okay, I want to become the wealthiest person, maybe in the city of Mumbai. We become, but then what happens? I want to become the wealthiest person in the state of Maharashtra. Then, some person wants to become the wealthiest in the country of India. Then the continent of Asia. Then in the whole world, then in the history of the world, and then the person becomes history. So, no matter how much one achieves, actually, there is no satisfaction. But when one achieves Krishna, one achieves Krishna Prem, Yam Labdhva Cha Aparam Labham Manyate Nadikam Tataha. There is nothing more to be achieved. And second thing he says, once one has achieved that, Yasmin Stona Dukkena Gurunapi Vichalyate, one will not be disturbed by anything. So this is the Krishna's definition of the real achievement of life. Try to achieve that which will take us beyond the reach of hankering, beyond the reach of lamentation. And that is pure love of Krishna. Because that is the innermost, the awakening of the innermost core of our heart. And nothing material can seize us from, take that away from us. And then Krishna goes on further, describes. He describes about the three manifestations of God, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagwan. 28th verse of 6th chapter describes Brahman. Sukhena Brahma Samsparsham Atyantam Sukham Ashnute. 29th verse he describes Paramatma. Sarvabhutastamatmanam Sarvabhutani Chatmani. And 30th verse he describes Bhagwan. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Jamai Pashyati. One who sees me in everyone's heart. So like that he's taken now to the highest understanding of God. And then Krishna says, the highest yogi is one who wants to share what he has achieved with others. And there Arjuna starts thinking. Arjuna says, this process of going to the jungle, turning inwards, and finding the Lord in the heart, meditating on Him, this all seems very impractical. I don't think I can do it. So he says, my mind is very restless. And when he says, my mind is very restless, Krishna encourages him. Yes, practice it, you'll be able to achieve. Abhyasena kaunte vairagyam chigruhyate. But then Arjuna still is not pacified. Arjuna says, okay, I will achieve it. But it doesn't seem very easy. It may take a very long time. And what if I am not successful? So then there are three verses where Arjuna pours out his heart, his anxiety. Krishna, what you are telling me seems very difficult. If I try to go on a spiritual path, and if I don't succeed, kachinno bhaya vibhrashtas chinna brahmi manashyati, will I not be lost, gaining nothing materially, gaining nothing spiritually also? So 37, 38, 39, Arjuna asks three verses, one this question. And 6.40, and the loving concern of Krishna comes out in one of the most sweet and reassuring verses of the Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna, Parthanaiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate nahi kalyana krut kaschit durgatim tat gachati. So tat, tat means oh beloved. It's the only place in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna addresses Arjuna as tat. Oh my dear beloved Arjuna, one who does good, my friend, will never perish. Know that you will not lose in this world or in the next world also. And then Krishna describes. So Arjuna thinks, you know, if I do my duty properly, I will go to heaven. If I give up my material duty and try to practice spirituality, I'll go to the spiritual world. But if I give up my material duties and I am unable to succeed spiritually, so then I will neither get heaven nor will I get spiritual world. So I will lose both. But Krishna, such a brilliant reversal of paradigm he does, that he shows Arjuna that actually if you practice bhakti, you will first, if you still have material desires, you will go to heaven, then you will come back and you will go to the spiritual world also. So you will get both. So Arjuna is thinking I will lose both. Krishna tells him you will get both. So Krishna actually changes Arjuna's vision. So Arjuna is thinking it's lose-lose, Krishna says it's win-win. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, very beautifully he says, even if you are not able to complete your path of spirituality, actually in the next life when you start, purvabhyasena tenaiva riyate yavashopisaha, helplessly you will be attracted to me and you will return back to me. And devotees all over the world have given accounts of how there are souls, Isvarana Sindhurudu Maharaj describes in his Traveling Preacher's Diary, how he was preaching in Poland, and one time after a lecture, a small 5-year-old girl, maybe 4-5-year-old girl came, and she said, Maharaj, I want to talk, I have a question. And the Maharaj thought, you know, that, okay, let me see if some older person is there, a small girl, what question can she have? And then that girl's mother also came over there. And when the mother came, he said, actually, you know, Maharaj, she also said, no, they were Western. So she also used the word, Maharaj, they love you so much. She loves you so much. And she has a photo of you in her room. And she chants the prayer that you told her last year. He says, I told her last year. He says, what do you mean? And he says, actually last year she had come. And then What happened? She came for the program, actually, right from her childhood. So when she would go to school, in school she would tell, actually, you know, to eat meat is very bad. And we all go through many lives. In my last life, I was born in India. Now I am born here. And then, when the first time the devotees went on Harinam Kirtan, suddenly she was in her home, she just ran out of the home, small four-year-old girl. And then she said, I want to go to where they are going. The mother went and called, no, you cannot go like this. No, you must come. Then she went, and now they have a big festival of India. There are hundreds of things over there. But she just went straight to the place where the deities of Jagannath Balde Subhadra were there. And she just offered complete prostrated obeisances. Mother was wondering, what is happening? Has something fallen down? She couldn't figure out. So, actually, this is the example of Purva Bhyasena Tenaiva Riyate Avashopisa. By past practice, one is helplessly attracted. His Holiness Janananda Maharaj has written a very beautiful book called Animals in Krishna Consciousness. So he describes how there are different temples. And for example, in one temple in Malaysia, every evening at 7 o'clock at the time of Gaurarti, one dog would come near the door. And he would just stand and look at the deities. And the devotees thought, what is this dog doing? They have to push him away. And he would just go away and again sit there. And every day he would come and half an hour he would be there, then he will go away. And then they thought, this dog will not bite. Even if somebody throws stone at him, he will not bark, he will not bite. And then they realized that actually this dog is a devotee from the previous life. So there are many remarkable experiences. So what we practice Krishna consciousness, that is never lost. So then Krishna assures Arjuna that actually whatever you achieve will stay with you forever. And then he says, therefore, the greatest yogi is one who fixes his mind on me. And then, actually, Krishna has not answered Arjuna's question. Arjuna said, this path is very difficult. So now, 7th chapter onwards, Krishna said, there's another path for you to follow, Arjuna. And then, till the 6th chapter, Krishna has been telling, you have to be detached. You have to be equipoised. But suddenly, 7th chapter, Krishna introduces a new dimension. Mai asakta manah partha. You make your mind attached to me. So 7th chapter starts the bhakti section of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna describes how you should actually become, don't just become detached from the world, but become attached to me. And then he describes how he pervades the whole world and the perfection of life is to surrender to him. He describes four kind of people who surrender to him. And there, the Ramacharya in his commentary explains a very beautiful point. Krishna says that all the people who come to me, udara sarva evaite, gyanitva atmaiva mematam, he says all those people who come to me are very udar, very charitable. Now, the word udar, generally speaking, you can say a wealthy person is udar or God is udar. But Krishna is udar. But Krishna is telling that my devotees are udar. My devotees are charitable. So how does Krishna call his devotees as charitable? So Ramacharya explains that actually Krishna is hungry for bhakti. You know, Krishna can get everything in this world, but there is one thing which he cannot get unless we give it to him. And that is our love. And that's why if a soul offers his love to Krishna, Krishna feels, oh, you are so charitable. This is Krishna's heart. Actually, Krishna has made us, Krishna has sustained us, Krishna is providing us everything. But if we offer our love to Krishna, Krishna says, you are so udar, you are so large-hearted. Markandeya Rishi in his prayers to the Lord says that, my dear Lord, how compassionate are you? Actually, you only inspire the devotee to perform devotional service. When the devotee performs devotional service, you only give the devotee ecstasy. And when you give ecstasy to the devotee starts crying tears, and you think, what a great devotee this person is. So, this is Udara. So, Krishna is so large-hearted. So, Krishna is actually hungry for love. And somehow or the other, you come to me, Krishna says. So, 7th chapter, he describes all these different kinds of people who come to me. And then the 8th chapter, in the 8th chapter, he answers Arjuna's question. Arjuna has said, this path of yoga is very difficult. So, 8th chapter, Krishna says, yes, now I will tell you a path that is easy. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. So he says, if you remember me, I will be sulabha. I'll be easily obtained. Arjuna, earlier Krishna had said, dushkaram, it's very difficult to attain. But by bhakti, that which is difficult becomes easy to attain. So actually Krishna reassures Arjuna. This is the only place in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, I am easy to obtain. Easy to obtain by the path of bhakti. And then Krishna talks about the path of yoga and says, okay, you have to, if you die at the time of night, this will happen. If you die at the time of day, this will happen. And then Arjuna says, how can I control when I will die? And then Krishna tells Arjuna, Tonnaite sruti partha janan yogi mohiyati kashchana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhava Arjuna. He says, all this is for the yogis. You are my devotee. Whether you die at night or daytime, I will come and give you my remembrance. So, Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains, in the Vayu, he quotes from the Vayu Puran, he explains, it is Govinda Bhashya commentary, that actually, when a devotee starts serving Krishna, Krishna cannot tolerate separation from that devotee. And actually, if the devotee forgets Krishna, Krishna feels separated from that devotee. So, when we forget Krishna, we are the losers, but Krishna thinks I am the loser. So, if the devotee goes away from Krishna, because the devotee has offered his love to Krishna, Krishna feels I cannot tolerate separation. And Krishna forces himself back into his consciousness. And he says, if the devotee, when I can no longer tolerate separation from the devotee, then I come on Garuda myself, and I take the devotee on Garuda and take him back to the spiritual world. So Arjuna, you don't have to worry at all. And then after describing how, so by the 8th chapter, by the end of the 5th chapter, Krishna has shown how Bhakti Yoga is better than Karma Yoga. At the end of the 8th chapter, Krishna has shown how Bhakti Yoga is better than Ashtanga Yoga. Now, 9th chapter, he just speaks about Bhakti. Pure Bhakti he speaks about. And there are the many beautiful verses. There's Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. Because if you think about me, I will take care of all your problems. Don't worry. And then, there is this very special verse. Very Krishna says, even if my devotee does something wrong, still he is to be considered saintly. So, api chet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hi saha. Even if my devotee does any sinful activity, no matter how bad, still he is to be considered saintly. Now, how is this to be understood? If you do something wrong, so actually, the emphasis of this verse is Krishna's love. So Krishna is telling, whatever you do, I will keep loving you. That does not mean that we should do whatever we want to do. Just like a father says, if a father tells his son, my dear son, whatever you do, I will love you. But that doesn't mean son should do whatever he wants. But the idea is, Krishna expresses his love unconditionally. And for a devotee, this verse is a reassurance that there is nothing that we can do that can stop Krishna from loving us. Krishna has made us to love him and made us to love him and to be loved by him. And there is nothing that anyone can do, we or anyone else can do, that can stop Krishna from loving him, us. So it's a very reassuring verse. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, Rasik Ranjan, gives a very beautiful explanation of this verse. He says, this verse is telling, even if my devotee does the most sinful activity, if he is fixed in my devotional service, then he will never, he will be saintly and he will never perish. He will become dharmatma. So he says, this is a very strange verse, because if somebody is my fixed devotee, ananya bhag devotee, somebody is my constant devotee, how can he do sinful activities? Somebody is constantly practicing bhakti, how can he do sinful activities? So there are three levels. There is pure bhakti, there is sinful activity, and there is mundane dharma, dharmaatma, mundane punya. So there is pap, punya and bhakti. So Krishna is telling, if my, there are three levels are there, Krishna is telling that if one is doing my pure bhakti, then even if he does pap, still he is to be called a punyatma. Still he will become a punyatma. So he says, why this three-level confusion? First of all, how can a bhakta do pap? And if a bhakta does pap, why will he become punyavan? He should stay a bhakta. So he gives a very beautiful answer. He says that actually this verse refers to the gopis of Vrindavan. He says, how? Api chet sudharacharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. He says the gopis, when they leave their homes and go to Krishna at midnight, from a mundane point of view, this is sudharachar. This is very bad. But they are doing it out of pure bhakti. Ananya bhak. And therefore, sadhureva samantavya. Therefore, they are to be considered sadhus. So, he says that my devotees, even if they seem to do wrong, they can never do wrong. Especially the gopis, they can never do wrong. So, they are sadhureva samantavya. Then what about dharmatma? He says that one who declares the glories of the gopis, such a person will become dharmatma. Kante pratijani name bhakta pranashas. One who declares the glory of the gopis, even if he is sinful, he will become pious. So then, Krishna describes how anybody and everybody can serve me. Mami partha vyapa shritya ye pisyo papa yonaya. He says that even if somebody is very sinful, so the grace of bhakti extends two ways. One way is that it can go down to the person who is at the lowest level. And secondly, it can take the person to the highest level. So other paths cannot go down so much and they cannot take up so much. So Krishna describes, and then he has this famous verse, Manmana Bhav Mad Bhakto. So Jiva Goswami gives a very beautiful understanding. He says that this same verse comes in 9.34, it also comes in 18.65. So what is the difference? So I'll tell it in 18.65 when we come to that. So then at the 10th chapter, when Krishna speaks, the Chatur Shloki, yes, Aham Sarvasya Prabho Matta, I am the source of everything. And then Krishna, Arjuna is enlightened. Arjuna describes the understanding. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are the supreme person. And when Krishna, Arjuna speaks that, practically the Bhagavad Gita is over at that time. But now Arjuna starts following Krishna's instruction. Loka Sangraha Mevapi. For the enlightenment of people, he starts asking further questions. So he says, Arjuna, Krishna, you are told you are in the spiritual world. We should always think of you. But people who are material consciousness, how can they think of you? So then he says, please tell us how I can think of you materially. Then Krishna starts describing his vibhuti. So he says, Mruganam, Mrugendroham, among animals I am the lion. Rutunam, Kusumakara, I'm seasons among seasons I am the spring. And then he describes, Vrishninam, Vasudevosmi, Pandavanam, Dhananjaya. He says, among the Vrishnis, I am Vasudev. And the Acharyas explain that when Krishna is speaking among Pandavas, so Arjuna thinks, Krishna will speak, I am Yudhishthir. But he says, I am Arjuna. So now, we two are one. Shut up, no need for you to speak. It's not like that. So this is not the Mayavadi understanding. I am Krishna, I am you. I didn't know that earlier. It's not like that. Actually, why does he say Pandavanam Dhananjaya? Because among all the Pandavas, Arjuna has the maximum integrated virtues. You know, when Pandu is praying, first he says, I want a son who will become a king, so he should have dharma. And then he plays to Dharmaraj and he gets Yudhishthir. But then he thinks, actually, dharma is good, but dharma alone is not enough. Virtue alone is not enough. Actually, in this world, to implement virtue, we need strength. So please give me a son who has strength. And then he prays to Vayu, and then he gets Bhima. But then he thinks that actually just virtue or just strength are also not enough. Actually, one needs skill also, expertise. And then he says, give me a son who has all these three. Virtue, strength, and skill. And that son is Arjuna. So that's why Arjuna is considered to be most special among the Pandavas. And then Krishna speaks after that, and Arjuna, I have told you so many of my glories, but actually, nantosti mama divyanam, vibhutinam janardana, vibhutinam parantapa. He says, there is no end to my glories. Now there is one Western scholar who commented on the Bhagavad Gita and he said, this is the height of ego. He says, what is this? You know? Krishna is telling, imagine if we tell somebody, you know, can you please introduce yourself? He says, actually my introduction is endless. And not only that, he says, on top of his, he says, not only does he say that I am the best among everyone. See, one level of false ego is to say that, but, you know, I am better than everyone else. But another level is that whoever has anything, that is also from me only. So, Krishna says that actually I am the best of everything, and whatever good you see in anyone, yadyad vibhutimat sattvam shrimad urjitamevava, all that comes from me only. And that is actually just my spark. Mamma tejo amsha sambhava. So, actually, what is Krishna's mood over here? So, as I said, Krishna, is he having a big ego? There are so many verses in the Gita where Krishna speaks about himself in the third person. Third person means, for example, 1861, he will say, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Surrender to that Ishvara who is situated in the hearts of everyone. Now, who is that Ishvara? That Ishvara is Krishna only. But Krishna speaks about himself in the third person. First person is I, second person is you, third person is he. So, Krishna doesn't want to brag his own glories. That's why there are many places in the Bhagavad Gita where he speaks about himself in the third person. But Krishna has to make a choice between humility and clarity. And he considers clarity more important than humility. Why? Because suppose there is a sudden accident on the road and there is a person who is about, who is, you know, his bone is broken and blood is coming out. And at that time, there is a doctor, a very competent doctor, but he's in plain clothes. Now, he wants to tell the people, hey, come on, you take him out, you put this plaster, put this bandage and do like this. And people are not ready to listen to him. Then, you have to tell, you know, the biggest hospital in the city, I am the number one doctor in that. And I have done so many surgeries, I have saved so many people. Now, he is telling that not because he wants to brag his own glories, but because he wants to save the patient over there. So, yeah, similarly, Krishna doesn't want to brag his own glories. But Krishna wants to save the conditioned soul who is living in ignorance. And for the conditioned soul to take his instruction seriously, Krishna has to speak his position. So Krishna doesn't have any false ego. Of course, nothing is false about him. So even his ego is true. But, but actually Krishna, he is simply speaking. And if you want to say that Krishna is proud, just look at the setting of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the charioteer of Arjuna. You know, what pride is there in being a charioteer? So Krishna is ready to become the charioteer out of the for the sake of love. And Krishna is ready to proclaim his own glories for the sake of love. Krishna is motivated only by love. And then, now 11th chapter is the most dramatic in terms of action in the Gita. So till 10th chapter, the emotions are just in the heart. So Arjuna thinks that, okay, Krishna, you know, you have told that you are the greatest, you contain everything, everything comes from you. But people will not believe you. So can you please reveal your universal form? So it is described that when Markandeya Rishi asks the Lord, can I see your Maya? So the Lord smiles regretfully. So the same happens with Krishna. So Krishna says, okay, you want to see? I will show you. So 11th chapter is very beautiful because what Arjuna is going to see is something which is never seen before. So first, Krishna describes to Arjuna what you are going to see. So 5th to 9th verses describe what you are going to see. Then after that, Sanjay tells Dhritarashtra what Arjuna is seeing. That's 4 verses. And then next 18 verses, Arjuna tells what I am seeing. So the same vision is described 3 times. And Arjuna first starts glorifying, oh, this is so great. You are everywhere. And then as he is looking at the whole form, then suddenly he starts seeing, actually it's not just everywhere, it's looking very fierce. And all these warriors are going into the mouth of the Vishwarupa, and he feels just like, he gives 2 examples over there of moths going into fire or rivers going into ocean. And as Arjuna is saying, Bhayena Vatitam Manome, his mind becomes bewildered. And then in 31st verse he says, Akhya Himeko Bhavanugra Rupo. Hey, who are you? Actually in 30th verse only says he is Vishnu. He identifies him as Vishnu, but he has never seen Vishnu in such a rupa. So he asks, who are you? So just like Lakshmi Devi knew Narsimha Devi is Vishnu, but this can't be Vishnu. She couldn't understand, who are you? So Arjuna says, so till then, till the 30th verse, Arjuna is referring to Krishna as Tvam. Now in Hindi, Tvam means tu. But suddenly in 31st verse, he says, Bhavan, aap. Because it's such a big form. Hey, tu nahi, aap, aap. And then Krishna speaks. And he says, Kalo smiloka kshekrut prut. I am time, I am the destroyer of all the worlds. And then he says, Bhishmam cha dronam cha jayadratham cha karnam tathanyan apiyodaviran mayahatam stvam jahimavyat. He says that actually all the warriors on your opposite side are going to be killed. Now Jayadrath is not a very important warrior. And in fact, in the first chapter, when Duryodhana assesses the forces on the 2 sides, he doesn't even bother to mention Jayadrath. But Krishna knows that Jayadrath is going to create an obstacle and he wants to reassure Arjuna. That obstacle I am going to remove. So he mentions Jayadrath also over there. And he says, Arjuna, arise and fight. And then now Arjuna, actually described in the next verse, it described, he is kiritinam, he is wearing a crown. That means a kshatriya. But so gadgadam bhita bhita pranamya. He becomes frightened. Normally kshatriya never gets frightened. And then he starts praying to Krishna. And then he prays, Namo Namaste tu Sahasra Krutva. I offer my obeisances to you. But then he says, actually, where should I offer obeisances? You know, the altar is here, so I can offer here. But he says, you are here, you are there, you are here, you are everywhere. So he says, where should I offer obeisances? Nama purashtadha prushtataste namostute sarvate vasarva. He says, I offer obeisances from ahead, from behind. From everywhere I offer you obeisances. And then he says, oh Krishna, I'm sorry. I thought that I called you as my friend. And I thought that actually you were my inferior friend. Why? Because, he Krishna, he Yadav, he Sakheti. He says, I used to think that actually I am the king. But you are just a prince. So I used to think I was superior to you. But what a fool I was. He says, how can anyone even be equal to you? What to speak of being superior to you? And he says, therefore, what should I do? Tasmat pranamya pranidhaya kayam prasadayetva mami shamidyam. Therefore, I fall down at your feet and beg for your forgiveness, my dear Lord. And he says, what he says? How should you forgive me? Piteva putrasya sakheva sakyu priya priya yarasideva sodhum. He gives three analogies, and these three analogies are very significant. He says, just as a father forgives a son, so that Krishna is so great, so I'm just like a son. But actually, Arjuna has his natural relationship with Krishna as a friend. So he says, as a friend forgives a friend. But then he gives one more intimate analogy. Say, priya priya yarasideva sodhum. Just as a beloved forgives her lover. Now this is referring to, we know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually Arjuna is Ramananda Rai and Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Sakhi. So he's referring to that. Actually, just as a lover forgives the beloved, please forgive me. And then Krishna says, Arjuna, enough of this. Arjuna tells Krishna, enough of this form, you know, please come back to your normal form. And then Krishna says to tease Arjuna a little bit. He says, hey Arjuna, you only asked for this form and I showed it to you. And he says, he says that actually by study of Vedas, by austerities, by tapa, by none of these can this form be seen. This is so rare. Why don't you see it? So Arjuna says, no, I don't want to see it. Please. Please show me back your normal form. Mate vyatha macha vimudha bhavo. He says, no, I don't want to see this form. Then Krishna says, okay, you don't want to see, I will not show you. So actually, that is how it works. The soul is the spiritual world, but the soul wants to see what is this material world. He comes here and he says, hey, I want to come back to you, Krishna. So, that's how. Then Krishna says, I will show you my normal form. And he says, two-handed form he shows. And when he shows the two-handed form, then Krishna tells Arjuna that actually this form is the most rare. No, but even the devatas are actually longing to see this form. So, devapyasya rupasya nityam darshana kankshina. So actually, the form of Krishna is the real Devananda. But there was a Devananda who thought Dhammarudam is the Ananda. And so, actually, this is another example of how people see according to their frame of reference. Everything. So then, this whole Vishwarup is shown. And then suddenly Arjuna seems to ask an unconnected question. He says, Krishna, who is better? Are those who worship the Brahman better or those who worship you better? Actually, Arjuna is simply asking so that he can enlighten everyone. And then Krishna makes it very clear. My devotee, Deshamaham Samudharta, Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. He says, I will personally deliver my devotee and I will take him back to the spiritual world. And then Krishna concludes, therefore, become my devotee. So from the 7th chapter onwards, Krishna is taking bhakti to the highest level. And in 12.7, he brings that highest level. He says that I will rescue my devotee. And therefore, fix your mind on me. He says, hey, this is very difficult. I can't fix my mind. At least fix your intelligence on me. Understand about me. That is also very difficult. Then at least do sadhana bhakti. That's also difficult. Well, at least do some seva for me. That's also very difficult. Well, at least give some charity to me. That's also very difficult. At least give some charity for some good cause, at least your spiritual life will begin. So Krishna brings the rungs of the ladder down. Come on! Just come on, Krishna is telling. So we can see Krishna's compassion over there. Different levels of bhakti he describes. And then the 13th chapter, Arjuna again asks, what is Prakriti? What is Purusha? So Krishna, Arjuna, what is he doing? He wants to clarify whatever he has heard about different philosophical aspects from the highest authority, Krishna. So then from 13th chapter onwards, he asks about Gyan. And when he asks about Gyan, that's why he asks, what is Gyan? What is Gaya? What is Purusha? What is Prakriti? This is one of the most philosophical and difficult chapters of the Gita. So it seems to be very full of contradictory description. Sarve indriya guna bhasam, sarve indriya vivarjitam. That absolute truth has no senses, but it has all senses. That absolute truth is detached from everyone, still he maintains everyone. It's outside everything, still is inside everything. That absolute is very far away, is very close. What is all this? Then Krishna tells. Even in this chapter of Gyan, he says, who can understand this? Iti kshetram tatha gyanam geyam choktam samasata madbhakta etad vigyaya. Only my devotee can understand this. So sometimes spiritual concepts appear very difficult to understand. Why is that? You know, imagine a person who has been blind since birth. There are two kinds of blindness. One is congenital and the other is adventitious. Adventitious means because of an accident somebody becomes blind. So that person who had some experience of vision and then has become blind, he can at least have some conception. If you tell, okay, there's a building, it's very beautiful. He has some experience, so he can conceive. But a person who has been blind from birth, he can't conceive anything at all. So now, if a person who has been blind since birth, we try describing, there is this painting and it's so beautiful. No matter how well we describe it, actually that person cannot understand it. So, similarly, all of us are spiritually blind right now. So because of that, when Krishna is describing spiritual truths, we cannot understand that with our reasoning. So Krishna is describing an experience. Now when the experience comes as an expression, the expression can never be complete. And we can argue about the expression. Hey, what is this? Why so contradictory things? But rather than our logic and argumentation, if we try to repeat the experience, Krishna tells, you become my bhakta, you will come back. You will understand this. You will come back to me. In the 14th chapter, Krishna analyzes the different modes. And he says, only my devotee can cross beyond these modes. Then 15th chapter, he describes this Purushottam Yoga. Very beautiful chapter. Where he describes about upside down banyan tree. Very enigmatic analogy. And then he says, how my devotee is going to return back to me. One who understands that I am the highest is the wisest of all people. And then, just rushing through the 16th chapter, he describes our divine and demoniac nature. So Chakravarti Pada explains that this whole section, last section, 13.22, Purusha Prakriti Stohi, that is like the beech. The whole tree grows from a seed. So when a tree grows from the seed, that seed is what? The soul's desire to enjoy the material world. Purusha Prakriti Stohi. And as this tree is growing, the 15th chapter describes this tree. The 16th chapter, the divine and demoniac nature, describes the upper and the lower parts of the tree. And the 17th chapter describes the middle part of the tree. And then, Krishna describes bhakti is the means to cut off this tree and return back to him. And then the 18th chapter is the most beautiful. Because there Krishna again comes to the climax of bhakti. So in the 18th chapter, now sometimes people ask this, where is this word Krishna consciousness? It seems a very odd word if you hear it for the first time. The first time when I was introduced to ISKCON, I thought, okay, Krishna is a spiritual person, consciousness is a scientific entity. What is this Krishna consciousness? And okay, Krishna consciousness might be something. Why do you need an international society for that? I couldn't figure it out. But actually, there is a clear phrase in the Bhagavata. Machitta sarva durgani. Mat prasada tarishyasi machitta, become conscious of me. That is Krishna consciousness. So there in the 18th chapter, Krishna describes, please surrender to me. So first he says, there is a super soul in the heart of everyone, you please surrender to him. And then when he says, now Krishna says, I have completed my instructions. Now Arjuna, you decide what you want to do. Iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyataram maya vimrishyaita dasheshena yathechasi tatha kuru. As you desire, so you can do. So when Krishna speaks this, Arjuna goes deep into thought. This is what Krishna said in the 3rd chapter, then he said that in the 7th chapter, he said that in the 11th chapter, and this is in the 16th chapter. What to do? And when Arjuna goes so deep in thought, the Krishna's compassion overflows from his heart. So before that, he has told Arjuna, you think and you decide what you want to do. In the Bhagavad Gita, is not a book of commandments. It is a book of choices. Choices and consequences. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. Now you decide what you want to do. But seeing Arjuna lost in thought, Krishna tells, I will tell you what to do. So here he has said, I have given you knowledge more confidential than before. But now he says, I will give you the most confidential knowledge. Sarva goyatam ambhuya shruno me paramam vachaha ishtosi me drudhamiti tato vakshami te hitam. The most confidential knowledge I give you, what is that? Ishtosi me drudhamiti. I love you very strongly. And therefore, for your benefit, tato vakshami te hitam, for your benefit I am speaking this, O Arjuna. So, on the 17th day of the battle in Kurukshetra, when Karna and Arjuna are about to confront each other for the final battle, so at that time, Karna asks Charioteer Shalya, oh Shalya, if today Arjuna kills me on the battlefield, what will you do? So Shalya says, no, I will raise my weapons against your aggressor and send him to the abode of death. And if I am unable to do so, then I will fight in the battle and I will attain a warrior's death, falling in your footsteps. So Karna nods gravely. On the other side, Arjuna asks Krishna, oh Krishna, if today Karna kills me, what will you do? So Krishna's voice becomes thunderously angry. He says, oh Arjuna, the sun may become cold, the earth may crack apart, the sky may fall down, the wind may stop flowing, but Karna will never be able to kill you. If somehow Karna kills you, I will take my Sudarshan Chakra and I will kill not only Karna, I will kill all the Kaurava warriors. No, I will assume my Vishwaroop and destroy the whole universe. Rest assured, O Arjuna, no harm will come to you. Ishtosime drudamiti. This is Krishna. I love you very much, strongly. The drudha means determined. Krishna is saying, I am determined to love you. And unfortunately, we are determined to forget Krishna. But he says, I am determined to love you. And therefore, for your benefit, I speak. What do I speak? Then he speaks the two verses. Vishwanath Chakravarti says that the Bhagavad Gita is like a treasure house. So there is upper lid, there is lower lid, and in that there are the jewels. So these two are the jewels of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Manmanabha madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaish satyam te pratijane priyosime. His four things. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage to me. In this way, you will surely come back to me. I guarantee you, Arjuna, because I love you very much. Now, this verse, as I mentioned, comes in 9.34 also. But there it is. Mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayana. It says, in this way, engaged thus, you will come back to me. But here he says, you will come back to me. I guarantee you. I speak the truth because I love you. So, Jiva Goswami explains that 9.34 is telling about the devotee's love for Krishna. That this is how the devotee should love the Lord. Atmanam matparayana. Offer your whole existence to Krishna. But as the Bhagavad Gita is, so Krishna is initially telling Arjuna, you should become this kind of devotee. But as the Bhagavad Gita is progressing, coming to its climax, Krishna is so eager, so desperate that Arjuna take up devotional service, that he tells this verse to show how much I love you. He says, Mame Vaishnavi, you will come to me, Satyamte, I am speaking the truth. Why? Pratijane priyosime. Because you are very dear to me. So pratijanihi, this was the word which Krishna used in 9.31. He says, declare that my devotee will never perish. So Krishna told Arjuna, you declare. But now Krishna says, I declare that you will not perish. And then he says, but Arjuna thinks, what about my duty to my teacher, my relatives? He says, forget it. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Just surrender to me. What will happen by that? Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchaha. I will free you from all sinful reactions. So, in the end of the 7th chapter, 7.27, Krishna tells Arjuna that actually if you want to become my devotee, you have to become free from all sins. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. Only when you become free from all sins, then you can come to me. But here Krishna is telling, oh, just come to me, I will free you from all sins. So what is happening here? It's just like there is a mother. She tells the child, when the child is small, he is learning how to stay clean. The mother tells him, you know, whenever you want to respond to nature, you should go to the washroom and respond over there. And the child again dirties himself. And his mother says, "No, don't come near me. First you clean yourself, then only you come close to me." And the child says, "How do I do that?" And the mother's heart, "Oh, come, I will clean you." So, it's Krishna is like that. First he's telling, you become clean. Antagatam papam jananam punya karmana. When you become free from pap, then you come to me. "How will I become free?" "Hey, come, I will free you. I will..." "Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma shuchaha." "I will free you from all sins." And then, it's like, and sometimes when a father may have a very precious and secret treasury. And generally, ultimately the father wants to give his treasury to his children. But if the children are not irresponsible enough, not grown up enough, then they may squander it. So the father may not reveal the treasury. So here Krishna feels, "I have revealed my heart." And then he tells Arjuna, "Hey, don't tell this to anyone. Don't tell this to anyone and everyone. Idam tena tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushave vakyam na cha mamyo abhisuyate. He says, "Don't tell this to these who are not austere, those who don't render seva, those who don't have bhakti, and those who are envious." Now Arjuna starts thinking, who will remain to tell them? So, then here Krishna is filled with so much ecstasy that Krishna also has his mood swings. You know that famous pastime where Ramacharya's guru tells him, "Don't tell anyone." And Ramacharya goes and tells everyone the secret mantra, Om Namo Narayana, like that. So Krishna, first of all, don't tell anyone. But then Krishna says, "Yes, actually one who shares this message, he's very dear to me." So the next two verses, 68 and 69, they give us an indication how dear Srila Prabhupada will be. Krishna is telling that there will be no one who will be more dear to me than this ever after. He's always most dear to me. And Krishna says in many places that if you do this, you will become my devotee and you'll come back to me. But here Krishna says, if you preach, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end you will also come back to me. So Krishna says that, please share this message of my love with the world. And now somebody may say that, "Hey, I can't pray, that is very difficult." And Krishna says, "Okay, at least study." He says, "Adishyate cha yamam dharmyam samvadam avayo jnana yagena tenaham ishtasyamiti me mati." Just study. So if you study my message, you are doing aarti of me. Aarti with your intelligence. So we have aarti paraphernalia, but we can do a worship of Krishna with our intelligence if we study his message. So somebody may say, "Hey, studying, I don't have so much intelligence. I can't study." Then Krishna says, "At least hear." He says, "Shraddhavanana suyascha shrunuyadapiyonara sopi mukta shubhalokan prapnuyan punna karmanam." He says, you will attain the highest destination, the destination of the pious souls, that means the devotees it refers to here, if you just hear about my message. And now Krishna has told the highest message, and he has told the glory, the shruti of that message, Phala Shruti. And then he expresses his concern once again. "Arjuna, have you understood? Kachide cha chrutam partha tvaye kagrena chetasa kachida jnana sammoha pranashnaste dhananjaya." Arjuna, has your doubt gone away? Have you heard attentively? Is everything clear to you? So Krishna is so concerned that Arjuna understand. So Chakravarti Pad explains that Krishna is so anxious that if Arjuna says, "I have not understood anything," Krishna says, "I am ready to speak that thing again. If you want, I will speak the full Bhagavad Gita again." So normally, you know, if we are in a college and we go to college professor and tell him, "Sir, I did not understand this. Just come to my tuitions, pay a big fee, then I'll tell you." So, Krishna is not like a professional teacher. Krishna, when he's speaking out of love. And what happens? Arjuna says, "Nashto moha smriti labdha." "Yes, my illusion is gone. My memory is restored. All my doubts are destroyed. And karishye vachanam tava. I will do what you tell me to do." So, when he finishes this, then again the scene goes back to Dhritarashtra and Sanjay. So, Sanjay now gives his summary. So he tells, "Ityaham Vasudevasya Parthasya cha Mahatmana." This is how I have heard this very wonderful conversation. This is how I have heard it, because of the mercy of Yas. And then he does, in one sense, the Bhagavad Gita is a conversation at three levels. At one level, it is a conversation which is successful in its fruit. At another level, It is a conversion which is unsuccessful. At a third level, the success depends on us. What does that mean? At one level, it is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And Krishna succeeds in persuading Arjuna. And Arjuna says, I will do what you want me to do. At another level, it is a conversation between Sanjay and Dhritarashtra. And in one sense, Sanjay fails. Dhritarashtra's heart doesn't change. But the message of the Bhagavad Gita is so glorious that just by repeating that message, Sanjay becomes filled with ecstasy. And that's why he says, what is the effect? Tachya samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam adbhutam keshavarjunayo punyam rishyami cha muhurmuhu. Every moment I'm ecstatic. So Prabhupada says in that purport that actually the result of Krishna consciousness is that one enjoys life, not just occasionally, but with a thrill at every moment. And to emphasize that, in the next verse he says, rishyami cha punha puna. So first he says, I am remembering the message, I am feeling thrilled. Then he says, I am remembering that magnificent form that Krishna showed. I am also feeling thrilled by that. So, at that level, the message is, Sanjay is successful. Because he has become Krishna conscious, he has become filled with ecstasy. So when we preach, when we distribute books, if people take, that is wonderful. But even if they don't take, if we repeat Krishna's message, we actually become uplifted, we become enlivened. And then, the starting question of Dhritarashtra was, what happened on the battlefield? So, the 78th verse is the answer. What happened? It's not exactly a full description of what happened. That will come later. But it's a prediction of what is going to happen. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara. So, in 73rd verse, it is said, Arjuna told Karishye Vachanam Tamo, I will do. But when he has to do what Arjuna wants him to, Krishna wants him to do, what is he going to do? He's going to pick up his bow and fight. So, that's why he describes here, Dhanurdhara, Partho Dhanurdhara. Arjuna has picked up his bow. So, actually Arjuna has picked up his bow means he has become ready to fight. At the start I explained that Arjuna's bow represents our determination to serve Krishna. So at a deepest level, the Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between the soul and the super soul. Srila Prabhupada explained when he gave his second initiation ceremony in New York, he said, now you need not lament no matter what happens. Because now you have made Krishna the charioteer of your life. So when we practice bhakti, we are making Krishna the charioteer of our life. So only thing we have to do is, at the start of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was instructing Krishna. At the end, he was ready to receive instructions from Krishna. So when we have made Krishna the charioteer, Krishna will take care of everything for us. So at the third level, whenever there is some distress, whenever there is some difficulty, so if we meditate on Krishna's words, we can again get rejuvenated. And we can also become dhanurdhara, we can become determined, confident. Sometimes in this material world, when we have to practice bhakti, it appears like a mission impossible. There are so many external obstacles, there are so many internal obstacles. But actually, when Krishna shows his Vishwarupa, and he sees the huge power of the Vishwarupa, and Krishna tells Arjuna, Rutepi Tvamna Bhavishyanti Sarve. That even without you, everybody will be destroyed. Don't worry. So, without you, everybody will be destroyed. Or, if you take up, you can get the credit. So, when we meditate on Krishna's omnipotence and Krishna's omnibenevolence, benevolence means love, then we understand that actually practicing bhakti is not mission impossible, but it is mission unstoppable. It is mission unstoppable. Because Krishna is in our heart and he has taken our chariot in his hands. And we can try to stop Krishna, but we are tiny and Krishna is infinite. We cannot stop him. So instead of trying to stop him, we just cooperate with him and we can return back to him. So, let's conclude with one prayer of Arjuna. Arjuna offers this prayer to Krishna at the end of the Mahabharata war when the Vishnu Sahasranam is being spoken. He gives his revelation of how the Lord loves his devotee. So this is Krishna's version of, so Krishna has told how I love my devotee and Arjuna's version is how you love me. So we'll conclude with this prayer. Padma Patra Vishalaksha Padmanabha Surottama Bhaktanam Anuraktanam Trata Bhavajanardana Padma Patra Vishalaksha. Your eyes are lotus-like. Lotus-like indicates means that they don't see selfishly. Where in this material world everybody sees what is there in it for me. But Krishna He doesn't see selfish. He's lotus-like. He's simply selfless, unaffected by the materialness of this world. Vishalaksha. His eyes are very big. It's not that he will miss out. We may think, I am so small, Krishna. So will he see me? No. Vishalaksha. He will see every one of us. Padmapatra Vishalaksha. Padmanabha Surottama. So actually, he is the lord of the person who created this world. He's the lord of the persons who are controlling this world. Padmanabha and Surottama. So he can control everything and protect everyone. And most importantly, Bhaktanam Anuraktanam. He's very attached to his devotees. And what does he do? Trata Bhava Janardana. He actually delivers the devotees from material existence. So this is the love of Krishna, which he has revealed to us in the Bhagavad Gita. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Shila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Itai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we have been extremely fortunate to receive so many jewels from the jewel of ISKCON Pune, His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. A landmark lecture in many ways. So let us express our gratitude to him by loudly chanting three times.
Vivo! Vivo! Vivo!